You are tuned to Faith Out Loud here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome to the second hour of the show. It is 5 minutes past 1 o'clock. You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. And it's still I, your radio angel, Unolu Wakwangwali, taking you through between the next 2 hours. So make sure that you engage with me and you continue to stay in contact with me on our WhatsApp line on +27 7347035 20. Call us on +27 12 001 7679. Be part of the conversation. We're continuing with the conversation that we started having yesterday with our pastor, Pastor Daryl Katusha, who was talking to us yesterday on what is faith. And we got to unpack some really, really interesting understandings on what faith is. And now we continue with our conversation. But first, let me greet our pastor. Pastor Daryl, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How's it?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you can hear me loud and clear. I'm outside.
Loud.
And I'm speaking to where you said I shouldn't move, where I can get network.
Yes, loud and clear. Absolutely perfect where you are standing, Pastor. Pastor, for the sake of our listeners who weren't listening yesterday, and because we did have a bit of network troubles, could you give our listeners, you know, just a brief, in 1 minute or so, what we started talking about yesterday, what we said faith was or is?
We said faith is a substance of things hoped for but not seen.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also went on to express that the substance of faith is not determined by what you can or what you have power over.
Mm.
The substance of faith is determined by knowing that I am totally unable to do this thing for myself,
mm,
and trusting in God. So then we also said that faith has got a byproduct or another facet to it, which is called trust. You cannot have faith in something you don't trust.
Mm.
So when you trust it, you have faith in it, and then you obey it. So that's what we were basically saying. To say faith must have these byproducts for it to unlock. And we also said faith unlocks the heart of God.
Mm.
Because without faith, you then can't please God.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have people who do not believe in God. And maybe... people who do not believe in God and others do not believe in just God alone. And they say,
mm-hmm,
to us, those who are Christians who solely believe in the existence and in the being of God, that we are fools. Does our faith make us fools? Do we look foolish to the world? Should we be looking foolish?
You see, this is how do I put it? It's like a statement that was written that Africans have an innate ability to worship,
mm,
something. Human beings have been put with this SIM card that gives you the ability, as soon as you get that network, to catch it.
Mm.
We have been made beings that worship. We've been given the ability to have faith. What you have faith in is now your choice. God can't force you to have faith in Him. But you are going to have faith. You're going to have faith in money. You're going to have faith in things. You're going to have faith in toys. You're going to have faith in parents. You're going to have faith in children. That's just abusing faith. But you have the raw materials already, the original ability to have faith you have.
Mm.
What you then have faith in, that is... In fact, let me do this. Faith, then, is spiritual intelligence.
Okay.
As a way of understanding this, it must be relevant as mental health or emotional intelligence. Faith is a way of expressing something we recognize as true, but cannot describe in reasonable or natural ways.
Mm.
That is faith. Another thing you must know about faith is a higher form of knowing. Someone who has a PhD does not have a conversation with someone who's just writing grade 7. It's a waste of raw materials.
Mm.
Because even the way you construct your statement and what you take for granted in the conversation, you'll find that you're at different levels because your brain has gone through and has been abused by the corridors of tertiary education.
Mm.
So there are some times where for him to communicate with someone who's got lower level education, he must humble himself and use simpler forms. It's an intentional thing for someone of higher knowledge to speak to someone of lower knowledge.
Mm.
They must intentionally choose words that can be understood.
Mm.
without undermining the intelligence of the one that they are speaking to.
Yeah.
Because what is natural to them at this level is to be able to undermine, not because it's intentional, but because the assumption is you already speak at that level. That's why we're talking in the first place. So when he says, come let us reason together, you can never reason with God.
Okay.
So where he begins from the bottom where you are. So your reasoning and his reasoning is God being humble. Because you and God can't even sit at the same table and discuss. God discuss universe, you are discussing earth. In fact, you discuss country. We can only discuss South Africa. With God, he sees more. He's got the whole world in his hand, but the whole galaxy, the whole universe rotates at his word. So faith is a higher form of knowing. That's why in John 3, he say, when he explains the kind of spiritual knowing that comes when a relationship is with a spiritual being, he teaches that people born physically are born of water and from the womb, but people born spiritually are born from the spirit. Spirit existence is not equivalent to existence physically. We get in trouble most of the times when we equate the two. By faith, I'm speaking to you from SID. I have no proof that you are from SID. But you said it, and we spoke yesterday, and you called at the same time. I'm taking that up to say, could someone have a prank twice? They're wasting data. Why would they do it anyway? So you cannot equate the physical to say, I must first see you first before I believe. Faith does not do that, right? Faith becomes foolishness only to those who are perishing. You cannot speak life to someone who's chosen death. And the problem we have is too much contemporary Christianity and our perception of what is good faith and what is bad faith. Faith isn't faith to those who have made a choice to adopt foolishness as a principle of their life. Once you've chosen that and made up your mind, no one can convince you otherwise.
Right.
Faith says, if you want a swimming pool, you may have to invest in a shovel. What you want currently is what?
A swimming pool.
But what unlocks the swimming pool is the shovel. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, faithfulness embraces preparation. It embraces persistence. Mm-hmm. It honors investment. It also counts the cost. So faith has got babies. So why is it pleasing God? It's because one who wants to have a swimming pool must know swimming pools cannot be prayed into existence. Shovel dig holes. And in digging holes, that's not enough. You must go the extra step of persistence. You're going to meet rocks. And when you meet rocks, you don't only need a shovel. You need dynamite, maybe to blow it up. You have to invest in cement. You have to invest in time. You have to invest in labor. You must count the cost. If I want to put a swimming pool in my house or at my house, is it beneficiary? I'm staying in the ghettos. Would my property, would the price increase? No, it won't make a difference. So why would you do it anyway? But if I'm staying in the Dell, if I put it there, would it make sense? Evaluate the cost. Just because you have faith in your children doesn't mean your children have faith in you. So let me quickly say, so what is foolishness? Foolishness is denying God. Foolishness is denying God. A fool says in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see that if they understand. Those who seek God, every one of them is turned aside. And they have together become corrupt. There is none that does good, not even one. Psalm 53 verse 1-3. Listen. You know, when you deny God, you're denying that you exist. But the fact that I'm seeing you, you need to explain yourself apart from the physical. Explain how you came to be. Besides that, I was born. That's the physical. The Bible says, and he breathed into the nostrils of man, and he became a living what? Soul, not a spirit. Living soul. Zoan, what I'm saying to you is, you must explain your soilness and your soulness. Because as far as I'm concerned, you are a hybrid of soil, a better type of version of clay. What makes you so special than the ground that you walk on?
Mm.
What makes you different is the breath of God inside. In other words, you are Bluetoothing life. And here you are saying, the one who's Bluetoothing me, the life, does not exist. Bluetooth cannot be seen in the sky. But the fact that you are connected by faith tells me that the device is nearby. There's no way. You must explain yourself to say, how are you connected to hotspots? How are you on the internet? By their works, we will know them, that they are connected to the Savior. Mm. If the Savior is hotspotting you, you are on the net, like as though you've got data. But you are on borrowed time. It only takes him to switch off his power wherever he is, then you are finished.
Eesh.
So you are a fool when you say, the one who makes me connected is not here.
Mm.
Because you are now used of hotspotting for so long, you now think you have data. It's witchcraft.
You.
Sorcery. It's Harry Potter.
You.
Fallen men become his own God. He even denied the creation of God and explained his own origins in terms of descent from the animal kingdom. Please, just because I look like a creature that walks on two legs and almost looks like me, I am fearful and wonderfully made. God touched me when he made me. You don't know what a touch is until you have to lose a loved one and you're crying and the right person comes and gives you a hug. You wail.
Hey.
You don't know what a touch is like until your husband, who's gone for 3 weeks, has come back home. You now know what a touch is like.
Mm.
But you don't know what a spiritual touch is like until when you are guilty like Mary of Magdala, he says, oh. Mm. Oh.
Mm.
Doesn't matter which direction he's saying, I'm going. He's saying, go and sin no more. The fact that he has released me when I'm guilty as charged is a blessing beyond measure. Do you know what foolishness is? Foolishness is a rebellion against God. Where you look at God and you say, you know what, God, you don't know me. Witchcraft.
Mm.
Foolishness not only denies God, rebellion therefore becomes the hybrid, or it becomes a fungus, or it becomes a mushroom that is now seen. When someone rebels, they've been concocting this thing here, this thought in their mind for a long time, just as Lucifer was. That is what is foolishness. Another thing that is foolishness, when there's faith that says you are forgiven by grace, foolishness succumbs to temptation. Because the Bible says, God will not let you be tempted beyond your measure. And then it says, when you are then tempted, he makes you an escape route. So the escape route is already there. Why are you not taking it? Maybe it's because you are enjoying the sin that is tempting you.
Mm.
Maybe you are saying, stop it, I like it. So there needs to be a spiritual awakening. So why does faith please God? Because it removes foolishness. It removes succumbing to temptation. It removes denial of God. And then the fourth foolishness I want to tell you is worshipping idols. This one here is, I don't know. You go and make a god out of a tree. And then you say to the tree that you've made, you now take care of me.
Mm.
Oh, it's so good, man. You don't have to be an astronaut to know that's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the dead. Who did not go to Malawi? And say to the dead, I'm about to take my trip to Malawi. Make my way clear for me.
Hey!
I want to look at a passport. I've never been to Malawi. But you misplace your faith. So misplaced faith is called foolishness. When you take the God-given power to invest in God and your relationship with God for hard times when they do come, and you place them in things that you can't see, and you believe that people who've died, when they have died, they can look after you, even when they are in heaven. If they were in heaven and saw you suffering, do you know that heaven won't be heaven for them anymore?
Hey.
How can a mother look at a child suffering and cannot do anything about it and enjoy the bliss of heaven, and that they can't do anything about it?
Make it make sense.
Worshipping idols is, and whatever an idol is, you know what an idol is.
Mm-hmm.
And then giving service to an idol. Satan guises himself as a true God and is intent on deceiving people and keeping them away from the true God. Whose minds the gods of the age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. The refusal to use faith in believing that God exists unlocks a new paradigm shift that says, if God does not exist, or if God exists, who says I need to see him? So for me to satisfy that God exists, I must make idols that I can touch, idols that I can see. I must prove it first before I can believe it. When Christ shall come, some of the people that shall not go to heaven are those that wanted to see him first, because they shall see him, but it will be the second time he's coming back. They shall see the whole new Jerusalem. Doubt cannot please God. Doubt does not belong to God. Doubt says, how do you know? You can't say there's a fire and the house is burning, and you say, there's a fire, house is burning, and I say, how do you know? How do you know? You walk into the house and you can smell gas. And you say, there's gas smelling here, it's a potential danger, and you say, how do you know? It will take 2 seconds for that place to blow up. Foolishness is self-righteousness and reliance on your own resources. Just because God has blessed you, man, doesn't make you a God. So you can never abuse, so you can never have, you are never supposed to have dominion over a human being. Dominion is over animal. That's why the grass respected the feet of Adam as he walked. The moment he sinned, thorns came. Just respect thumbs with your falling. Your character is brought to shame when you fall, because you are not supposed to be in that space and you find yourself in that space. Self-righteousness and believing that your degree is what keeps you. People with degrees are buried every single day.
Okay.
Hypocrisy is foolishness and the form of godliness. Foolishness is hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy is translated actor. So when you are a hypocrite, you are going to church as an act. You are an actor. You are going to church as a new movie that you are acting out. The moment the script ends, you move on to something new. That's why it is sorcery for you to say, someone hurt me in church, I'm no longer going to church. You don't go to church for people. You go to church by faith for God. You're quiet. Is everything okay?
I'm just absorbing everything in that you are saying, Pastor Darrell. I'm really just taking it all in.
Yes. So faith has got babies, and so does foolishness. Once you refuse faith, you unlock foolishness. You start unlocking these hypocrisies. And even so, as you outward appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Matthew 23, verse 27 to 28. Outside you appear deaconess. Outside you appear elder. But now when it becomes witchcraft, you are sliding into DMs of youth. But you are an elder. You said, till death do us part, for better or for worse. What happens when better comes first? What happens when worse comes first? You promise. You made a vow. You made a vow. But you are sliding into the youth DMs. You are causing confusion in the youth. You are beginning to weigh down on immature faith that was growing in them. What am I talking about? Let me quickly say this to you. Let me tell you something. Let me break down faith quickly. All right? Let me break down faith quickly. There's faith that's called saving faith.
Okay.
This is faith based on the belief that Jesus died for you on the cross and for your sins. This is in Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. There's justifying faith. Faith based that your belief that if you confess your sins, you will. God is faithful and just to forgive you. Then there's saving faith. Faith based on the belief that Jesus died for you on the, for your sins and raised himself from the dead for your sake. And then there's daily faith, which is trusting in God in your daily provision. That's why I'll never work on Sabbath, because I'm not afraid to go hungry. Because in God making me hungry, he's preparing me for a great meal. There's nothing that can come into your life when you've got faith. Even if it's painful, you will transform it into something positive, because that's all you know how to do. No one can steal from you. They needed it the most. In fact, God was trying to get rid of secondhand things from your house, so he wanted to give you something bigger.
Right, right.
No one can break your heart. It's because you misplaced your heart, and for temporal time, you had put it in the wrong place. But God has given you something better, and He's going to take care of you. Now the one who left you because they loved you and they left you, there is the one who loves and is the author of love who's taking over from that. That's why He's the father of the fatherless and the husband to the husbandless. So you can call me single all you want. You can call me widow all you want. But there's a husband who will provide for me more than your husband who goes to work 24/7.
Amen.
Then there's doctrinal faith. This is a faith based in believing that the word of God and its teachings and the Bible are true. And if they are true, you call me foolish. But when I'm going through the most, I'll hug my Bible and keep quiet.
Ish.
I'll hug my Bible and keep quiet and it will be enough. And I'll sing a song from a boring hymn. Listen, even in the stage of growing, there are developments that you must do. So when you slide into the DMs of youth and you're married, you cause confusion in the ecosystem because I already know you're off the market, but you're acting like you're on the market, but you're off the market. So you're confusing the market. Are you in or out? So it means you're misappropriating, you're false marketing. And if you're misappropriating funds, which are supposed to belong to your house, and you're false marketing, you are into witchcraft, you're into sorcery, you are a fraudster, you need to go to jail. You're a criminal of the gospel. Because you thought the faith that is supposed to grow. So there's an imitative faith, age 3 to 7. This is a powerful and permanent influence by example, moods, and actions and stories of the visible faith of adults these children relate to. The faith that you have, Wena, if you are a parent, your child does not know what faith is, but they interpret the mood and action and stories as visible faith that they are going to stencil in their life permanently. It's called the imitative faith. It's there in faith, right? Then there's the mystic faith, which is a mystic literal faith. This is a stage that believes, that is interpreted literally. Religious truth is communicated through stories in which morality is legalistic and symbols are permanent only on single meaning. The cross will always be the cross. It will never be an indicator of a crossroad ahead.
Yeah.
It becomes clear that Jesus will always be Jesus. Barabbas can be called Jesus, but Jesus will always be Jesus to me. Then there's a stage 3, a synthetic conventional faith. This is like from 12 years old to adult. Hear me clearly. 12 years old to adult. This stage characterized by the identification of adolescents and adults with a religious institution, belief system, and authority, and the growth of the personal, religious, and spiritual identity of a human being. When they turn 12, they're not looking for moods now. They're looking for an institution to identify with. So if parents are in a marriage and they're failing and their child is 12, they need a new system that they can identify with where the husband is faithful to the wife and is coming to take her again. So church becomes paramount for the child to grow their faith. And then when the child is trying to grow their faith, coming from a toxic home, there you are, elder, because you think the child is good for you. You're sliding into the DMs. You are starting stage 3 of where they are supposed to find God. You become God to them because you have resources, because you have money. Money then becomes God. You become abusive via blessing. Then there's the individual, reflective faith. This one is characterized by distancing from previous assumed value systems. When people now get a little older, they'll begin to realize that not every elder is spiritual. When they started off, they believed that everyone is a man of God. Until this moment, that's when they realize that. And at this stage, they'll realize that not every church is spiritual. And then now, we have the conjunctive faith. A person at this stage recognizes that there are paradoxes and mysteries attached to transcendent values of norms of faith. As a result, a person goes beyond traditional belief that he or she has inherited from earlier stages of faith and its development. Universalizing faith. This stage is only rarely achieved by individuals. A person at this stage is not hemmed in by differences in religion or spiritual beliefs among people in the world, but regard all beings as worthy and compassionate and have a deep understanding that every man by grace has been made what they are. Faith is contagious, but foolishness can thwart growing faith.
Hey.
And that's why today we are skeptical about Christ, because men of God purporting to be men of God, and yet they are actors, they are hypocrites, are franchising the name of Jesus Christ so that church members can release tithes, can release benefits to them, and yet they are masquerading as good men, and yet deep down inside of them there is just nothing but darkness. And then people who are in darkness are saying, I'd rather be in this darkness I understand than that light that changes all the time. Is it a bulb? Is it the sun? What is it? My darkness is consistent. So when you see Mary of Magdala coming with the alabaster box to a man amongst men, it takes foolish men to say you could have sold that and given the poor.
Right.
Because poor old Jesus was going to the cross for you. And with her life savings, she comes and she pours the perfume on the Savior and anoints him and says nothing. And with her crown, her hair, she wipes. She wipes. At that point, she doesn't care. Because she believes. Come and see a man. She believes that the substance of my faith is therefore seen in my action. People treat you the way you dress. Don't force us to believe that the way you dress is not who you are. Whatever you market yourself as, people react to you like that. If you look like something, someone will think, okay, this is what it is. If you are a church-going person every single day on your status, happy Sabbath, there will come a time where someone is in the dark and they're going to slide into your DMs and say, my sister, pray for me. I'm not sure what I'm going to do next. I remember one time a friend of mine, I asked her, are you okay? And she said, I'm okay. And then she sent me a bottle of tablets. I don't have to be an astronaut to know what that means.
Yeah.
Allow God to send people your way, because your faith can unlock their demons.
Hey.
Allow God to send people your way, because your faith is so mature that even when it looks like it's pointless, the murderer is a murderer, a rapist is a rapist. That little mustard seed can be a faith enough that believes that a rapist can stand on the pulpit and preach a sermon that says, God is good. We are sick and tired of people who speak of faith when the bank balance is right.
Right.
We are tired of people that speak of love when all members of the family are counted and accounted for. We are sick and tired of people who speak about love because they married a loving man and they themselves are not so loving. They loved him because he loved them first, but they themselves will never love anyone like that. We are sick and tired of people who purport to love God and keep the Sabbath, and yet by the time they come out of their house on Sabbath, they broke the Sabbath a long time ago. To break it at church is a delayed match. We are sick and tired of people who go and bury the dead, but when things get tough, they go back to the dead people. And yet, did Christ not die also? If you so believe that dead people can help, here's another dead man. Give Christ a chance. Give Christ a chance. Kadwena, why are you always sticking to the same dead man? Christ is life. Give Christ a chance. He deserves a chance. And I can tell you something for nothing, that only Christ can give up his life and take it again. Only a God can say, for 2 minutes, hold on to my life. And then say, for 2 minutes, I take it up again. Only God can do that. So what does faith do when you ask me what is faith? The substance of it is what you hope for. So when you hope for it, you have the keys. Listen, girl. When we say keys, it could be car keys, house keys, bedroom keys. But they are all called keys. Faith is big. But which key are you unlocking? Are you unlocking the bedroom key for what purpose? If you are using the bedroom key, it means that bedroom has got members that belong to that bedroom. Husband and wife belong to that bedroom. You can't open the bedroom if you don't belong there. And some things are courtesy. You can't be opening people's doors if you don't belong to that house. There are parameters of how you can exercise your faith. Don't exercise your faith in such a way that you say to someone, the reason why you don't have faith is because you're not prayerful. No, sometimes I'm going through the most. Your faith should be enough to help me stimulate my faith that is dying, dwindling.
Hey, Kosiam.
Powerful. Lentils is not meat. But if you cook them right, they taste like meat. Lentils can feed the multitude, but they're not prestigious. In fact, you know, lentils were called the soup of the poor.
Mm.
But if you cook them right and I'm hungry enough,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
whether you put onions and tomatoes, I won't care because I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
People don't measure your mustard seed faith. What they do is they just need to know, do you believe in your God?
Hey.
And do you believe that your God can answer your prayer to heal my child?
Mm.
And at that moment, the action will interpret whether or not they will believe in your God.
Yeah.
When they were called, they said, come and follow me. He didn't say, come, all of you. He called them individually. Those that normally volunteer to Christianity are the ones that give us problems, like Brad Jay.
Wow.
His accolades, they said he's a good accountant. He deserves to be here. At the end of the day, he was hanging around somewhere by a tree. Because those who volunteer sometimes don't know how to forgive because they've never given anything to anyone. Faith allows me to understand that I've been given. Faith allows me to give others. And when the time is right, it may also allow me to forgive as I have been forgiven. Forgive us our debts. As we also have debts against you. Aye, Sugarman, it's witchcraft for you to hold on to faithlessness. Even if you don't believe in God, you believe in something. Even if you don't believe in something, you may even believe in yourself.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather struggle in Jesus. I'd rather upgrade myself in Jesus. I'm not going to get it right all the time. Even a pastor as I am, I will get to a point where my faith is low. Why don't you, as a church member, pick up your phone and pray for me and rejuvenate? I'm not asking you for money. I'm asking you to attack yourself. How? Move my mountain.
Yeah.
I can't pray. I can't do it alone. Move my mountain. I'm not asking you to remember until 2,300 days here. I'm asking you to remember me in prayer.
That's it.
That's what I'm asking.
That's all. You're Pastor Daryl.
So a faith-based religion, a faith-based religion is one that when things get tough, even heathens find refuge in your doctrine.
Wow. Let's leave it there for today. A faith-based religion. Say that again.
A faith-based religion allows the heathen to find shelter in your doctrine.
Wow. 22 minutes to 2 o'clock. Pastor Daryl, unfortunately, we have run way out of time. Thank you so much for availing yourself for this conversation. I cannot wait to hear what you have in store for us for tomorrow. Have a great afternoon, and may God continue to bless you as you minister to his flock.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. That was Pastor Daryl talking to us on faith and foolishness this afternoon. Stay tuned on Adventist World Radio. We're about to be in to have our book review with Brother Eddie Moyo.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.